anointed man of God. A man that is on a mission to impact his generation. Now, I will tell you one secret before I allow the technical to do the intro. You are so, so privileged. And I'll tell you why. The man I'm about to introduce, this month is his birthday. Listen again. His birthday also happened to fall into this week. This week is his birthday. His birthday anniversary. Ordinarily, he does not like traveling, or he doesn't travel out of his base on the week of his birthday anniversary, because he takes that time to stay back and seek the face of God, you know, and, you know, hear from God. But for your sake, and for my sake, God has brought him here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, put your hands together for Apostle Joshua Salmon. Amen. Now, briefly, the technical team will do a brief intro. Amen, amen, amen. Please be quiet. We will take the intro, and then the man of God will be coming forward to bring God's word to us tonight. And I'm trusting the Lord that someone here will go home with a major testimony. You are that one, shout aloud, hallelujah. Technical, over to you. God bless you.
A chemical engineer, a pastor, a psalmist, a conference speaker, and a televangelist. Highly sought after, the founder and senior pastor of Eternity Network International, ENI, the convener of Koinonia, a place where people come to experience worship, the word, miracles, and love. Experience true intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Learn to be with Him, be like Him, and represent the fullness of God's life on earth. A worshiper and lover of God's presence, and as well as an end-time general, who unites the body of Christ with a prophetic mandate as well as an apostolic calling. To take us to another level in glory, please join us as we make welcome God's choice son, Apostle Joshua Nimark.
I want to use this opportunity to really truly appreciate Pastor Emmanuel. Thank you. Thank you. And your dear wife, I sincerely appreciate you for this time. Please, let's honor them. Let's celebrate them. Thank you. Hallelujah. And then I want us to, in the same vein, even though our fathers and our senior pastors have been recognized, but I'd like us to please stand one more time and just honor the fathers. We honor you, sirs, the pastors, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please let's have some silence so that we are able to hear the word of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you believe in prayer? Can we just lift our hands and our voices to heaven and ask the Lord to visit us tonight? The Bible says they go from strength to strength, as many as appear before the Lord in Zion. Go ahead and pray.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. Father,
we are gathered tonight as proof that we trust you. We are gathered tonight as proof that we love you. We are gathered tonight as proof that we believe in you. Lord, I pray that in this conference you will visit us tonight in a mighty way. Let the sick be healed, O God. Let the oppressed be delivered, O God. May your fire fall in this place. And I pray in the name that is above all names, that as the word of God comes, our ears, our eyes, and our hearts are open to receive. Jesus, we declare that you be glorified tonight. For in Jesus' name I pray. God bless you, and please be seated. By the way, is it all right if I just use a few seconds to really bless and wish Pastor Emmanuel a very, very happy birthday? Let's honor him. Thank you. Amen. We love you, we honor you, and we celebrate what God has done and is doing. And our prayer as the body of Christ is that you will go from glory to glory. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Amen. While I was praying for this meeting this morning, I had a very interesting vision. And in that vision, I saw it was like Ezekiel 37. And I was given a picture of what was happening whilst Ezekiel, you know, his encounter, bones began to come to bones. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me from that vision in this meeting is that this night, many, many people will be stepping into strange restorations. Please, I want you to believe it with all your heart, that there are things that have left you, for some of you, decades, by the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that God is bringing them again to your life. Joel chapter 22. Please, let's get to the word. I'd like you to be sensitive. Be sensitive. Sing hallelujah. Sing. Just help those under the anointing, please. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. I'm just seeing the smoke of his presence across this place. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing Christ is risen. Sing Christ is risen. Sing Christ is risen from the dead. Spirit of the living God, we pray that whilst the word comes, move in our midst and let it truly be that this was a night of encounter. In the name of Jesus. Joel chapter 2 from verse 25. Joel chapter 2 from verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and shall be satisfied and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you. The last statement says, and my people shall never. Let me use this opportunity to speak that everything that followed you here, representing shame and representing reproach, I stand upon this altar in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. May shame and reproach be rolled away forever. May shame and reproach be rolled away forever. The Bible says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. That was his end. But at the beginning, the Bible says, because the mother bore him in sorrow, she named him Jabez. But a time came, he was angry. He said, it's time for me to go forward. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me and enlarge my coast. Again, oh, let me speak over someone. It may be that there are limitations that have followed you for years. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is also the lifter of men, I prophesy to you, everything tying you down so that the only thing moving is your age, nothing else is moving in your life, I command, let it be broken now. 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 When he called Lazarus out from the grave, he gave an instruction. He said, loose him and let him go. Let me speak to someone here. Whatever has tied you, in the name that is above all names, by the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, I declare, be loose now. Be loose now. Be loose now. Now, please sit down. The Bible lets us know that in our walk with God, please pay attention, there are systems of advantage that can be introduced into the life of a believer that gives him an edge over life and over circumstances. Are we together now? In the dealings of God with men, and captured all through scripture from Genesis to Revelation, we see that there were men who were under all kinds of circumstances, but that somewhere along their lives, a system of advantage was introduced into their lives, and it began to change the narrative of their lives. Here's what the Bible says, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and those who are the called according to his purposes. Why is it that all things can work for good? Because regardless the situation and the circumstance, in God's economy, he sustains the ability as the El Shaddai to introduce what I call systems of advantage. There is nobody's life that is in advantage by default. Are we together now?
Yes.
The first of that system of advantage being salvation, that when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, according to the authority of Scripture, the Bible says that there is a translation from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Then the Bible lets us know that you become a partaker of God's life. That is the first system of advantage that comes into your life. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The Bible says, it says, but I am come that ye may have life, and that you have that life more abundantly. Are we still together? But then there are other systems of advantage that are spiritual arsenals that God had made and put in place for believers, so that no matter and regardless what happens in your life, by the introduction of these systems of advantage, you eventually emerge victorious. It is on the strength of these systems of advantage that we show the all-surpassing dominion power of the Christ. So that regardless my background, regardless what it is that happened or did not happen in my life, once I come to Christ, there is no such thing as too late, because there are sufficient spiritual arsenals that can be introduced into the life of a believer to begin to correct even age-long anomalies. Are we together now? An example of these systems of advantage is the mercy of God. One of these systems of advantage is the favor of God. One of these systems of advantage is speed and acceleration. All these are provisions that were captured in the economy of God, to the intent that when and if any man decides to walk with the Lord and begins to grow through knowledge, you can access these truths. And then the reality of the divine life start speaking, because you engage these things. There are people, for instance, who come from backgrounds where they are saddled with all kinds of yokes and curses, and by default, these individuals become victims of life, victims of situations and circumstances. And even if they get born again, there are still constraints in their lives by reason of the advantage the devil had. There has to be a way of correcting that anomaly. Are we together now? There are people who, by reason of activities of witchcraft, did not have the privilege, say, to go to school early and to move forward early. So already by default, they are already retrogressed and delayed in life. Is there a way that God can help those people to catch up in destiny? Oh yes, there is. The name given to that mystery is called speed. That God can take the 10 years that were wasted and transfer it into a man's future and make it happen in one day. Are we together now? Listen, when we say we are victorious, we are not just saying it because Jesus died and resurrected just religiously. We are saying it because we are aware of the spiritual arsenals that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus has provided for the believer today. It is on the strength of these truths that we make our boast in the Lord. Are we together now?
Yes.
So we know that we are victorious. We know that in spite of what happened or did not happen, a woman may be barren for 5 years, 10 years, even 20 years. If that woman gives birth to a child, yeah, thank God for the child, but time has gone. If she's to give birth to 4 children, one by one by one by one,
At what age will she be done giving birth? So when God gives her quadruplets, he did not just give a child, he carried years and brought it in 9 months. Are you seeing that now? I'm saying this because tonight there is something that is about to happen to someone here in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. That the things that have been a disadvantage to your life, we have come to introduce a system of advantage into your walk that will begin to so change things that those who knew you will say, is Saul? When has Saul also become one of the prophets? Please sit down. Hallelujah. Are we together? Once upon a time, Moses went to meet his half-brother Ramesses, who had now become the Pharaoh of Egypt, to advocate the exodus of God's people. And they came out of Egypt and he began to pursue them. They stood before the Red Sea. There was no provision to move forward again. Egyptians behind, the sea in front. By what architectural mechanism were they going to build a system of safety to cross over? Everybody say systems of advantage. And in Exodus chapter 14, when you read from verse 13 and 14 and 15, Moses had a strange encounter with God. He said, fear not. Moses is speaking now, a visionary leader. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he show you today. For these Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them no more forever. Listen, as at the time he was saying this, he did not even know the dynamics of how it will happen. All he knew was that the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Then verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou to me? He says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Hold on. How do I go forward when I know that a sea can swallow anything? I hope you know that it was not just that the sea parted. The gap, the land had to rise to their level to be able to walk. Because even if the sea parted, it would still be a depth that they would not cross. Listen carefully. Just help those under the anointing now. And then Moses received that instruction. And when he stretched forth his rod, the Egyptians saw a dimension of God they had not seen among any of the gods of Egypt. The God who with the breath of his nostrils, he parted the sea like doors, hither and thither, and lifted land to their level on dry ground. When they cross over, Pharaoh attempting to cross over was swallowed by the sea. Miriam was too grateful. She sang a song. She said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Even the horses and his riders have been thrown into the sea. One time they became hungry, very hungry. And God said, I want to show you the systems that are available in this kingdom. Manna, not seeds for you to sow. There are times God can give you seed and wisdom to sow. But there are times the urgency requires bread. You don't have the time to start sowing and waiting for harvest. God can send both seed and he can give bread. He can give seed to the sower, but he also can give bread to the eater. It is true that God can give you a job and you can start saving for 5-10 years. But there are times that God can give you the keys to a house in one day. It is the same God doing it. Please pay attention. Then they stand in front of Jericho. A fence so fortified, the Bible says, 5 chariots could stand on it. Imagine a fence that 5 chariots could stand on it. Even if it collapses, it's still a fence again. And Joshua was led to introduce another system of advantage. The Bible says Jericho was shut. Nothing could come out of it. Nothing could enter it. And they went round singing praises every day once. And on the seventh day they went round. And he said, when you hear the sound of that trumpet, that you lift up a shout. And the Bible tells us that the walls of Jericho, it did not just fall, it sank. The power of God. And one of these systems of advantage tonight that the Lord wants to introduce is called the mystery of restoration. The mystery of restoration. Please look up. Scattered through scripture, the Bible tells us that men can gain things, but also men can lose things. Is that true? We see that people lost things, even believers lost things in scripture. For instance, Saul, the son of Kish, they lost their donkey, the father's donkey, and they went looking for it. Jesus himself, in giving his parable, helping them understand the system of the kingdom, spoke about the parable of the lost coin. So we know that it is not unusual for things to be missing. It is not unusual for us to lose things. But then the Bible gives us another interesting angle to it. That men can lose things, but men can lose time. The loss of time, according to scripture, is truly what we call loss. If you lose things, you can get it back. But when you lose time, because destiny is measured in time, write it down. The unit of destiny is time. That means whatever you give your time to, you give part of your life to. Whatever takes your time has taken a part of your destiny. Are we together now? The unit of destiny is time. And so there are times you can lose things. Sadly, after the pandemic or during the pandemic, many people lost money, many people lost jobs, many people lost businesses. So we know that men can lose things. But it is more deadly when you lose time. When you meet a dying man and ask him, what is your greatest desire? He will not say more houses. He will not say more land. The greatest request of a dying man is more time. Isaiah 38. The Bible lets us know that Hezekiah was sick unto death. And Isaiah came to him and said, put your house in order. God has brought a word. You will not recover from this sickness. The Bible says Isaiah turned his face to the wall and his prayer was a request of time. Time! From the human standpoint, is irredeemable. When it passes, it doesn't go back, it only goes forward. And that means whatever can eat up your time has taken a part of your destiny. So when the Bible says, I will restore the years, you need to understand the gravity of that miracle. Restore years? How do you restore years? When a man gets born again at 40, respectfully speaking, and at 50, yes, he's done well to get born again. But in truth, as far as destiny and impact and fulfillment of life is concerned, time is gone. You will need to introduce this system of advantage in your life. Is that true? Yeah. Restoration is a very powerful mystery. To restore means to take a person or to take a thing to its original position where it would have been if there were no constraint. Listen carefully. There is a difference between restoration and progress. Let me have two people. Can I have two gentlemen? Two well-dressed gentlemen. Please come. Let me use you for an example. Just two, and that's fine. We have this. One more person. Watch this now. I like to teach illustratively so that you will understand. Now, this is what I want you to do. Walk together. All right? Walk slowly. Now, these guys are at the same pace in life and destiny. Are we together now? They are going to walk towards me, but along as they walk, I'm going to make one of them to be delayed, and then eventually I'll ask him to start coming. I want to show you the difference between progress and restoration. Are we together? Now walk gently, gentlemen. So born on the same day, and now for whatever reason stop moving. Can you see? This is where he would have been. So he's behind now. Now keep moving. This is progress, not restoration, because he will never still catch up. Now let me show you what restoration is. When God picks him and brings him here. Do you understand that now? So that when you look at his life, you cannot find the gap that delay created again. I prophesy to you again, in the name of Jesus Christ, everything that has represented delay in your life, here at this conference, may my God push you forward. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Please sit down. Please sit down. So it is true that we can lose things. The concept of losses is a concept that we do not want to hear anything about. Not in business. Nobody wants to lose. Losing is dangerous. No one wants to lose a loved one. No one wants to lose money. No one wants to lose honor. No one wants to lose respect. No one wants to lose your valuable. Why do we protect our cars? Why do we protect our homes? Because we hate losses. Let's discuss the subject of losses for a while. Is God helping someone? There are five reasons why people lose in life. Remember, we are teaching on advancement, but we have to deal with the subject of delay and retrogression. There are five reasons from scripture why men lose. Number one, very quickly, the first reason why people lose in life is because of lack of discernment. Write it down, please. The lack of discernment. Lack of discernment can cause you to lose. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. We'll walk through a few scriptures. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Remember, Jesus was giving us the parable of the sower. Is that true? And he said the seed is the word of God, the soil being the hearts of men. And he said for all the soils, seeds were sown. But Satan came immediately and he caused losses. And for those that Satan came, they were the ones who did not pay attention to produce understanding from their hearing. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 16. Very interesting rendition. This, just a background for that scripture very quickly. This was Jacob. Remember, the Bible tells us that Jacob came to a place called Luz, and he laid a stone for to sleep in the night. Are we Bible students? And then the Bible says, while he slept, he saw a ladder. He had a dream, and he saw a ladder that connected the earth and the heavens. Angels were ascending and descending, but do you know, none of them were coming to him. They were moving close to him, taking messages to those who were calling them. And he was there and never partook of that angelic activity. And when he woke up, verse 16, please, he made a very instructive statement. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew not. I did not discern that I was not just lying down on a floor, that there was an altar here. My father had a covenant with God. I came close to the place of covenant. It would have blessed me. It would have lifted me. But lack of discernment. Did you know that one of the highest indices according to scripture that measures maturity is the ability to discern? Strong meats, the Bible says, are for them who are of full age. Is that true? Who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern. Discernment is powerful, the faculty of perception. This comes through prayer. This comes through study of scripture. This comes through exposing yourself to the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. In these end times, you need discernment. If you do not want to lose your bishopric, to lose your destiny, it takes discernment. Are we still together? The first reason why people lose, we're dealing with the mystery of restoration. Lack of discernment. Number two, the second reason why people lose in this kingdom is carelessness. Carelessness. Carelessness is the second reason why we lose. Revelation chapter 3, please, and verse 11. Revelation 3 and verse 11. It says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You can lose your crown. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. Please give it to us. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Negligence, carelessness. Many people have lost precious things because of carelessness. They have lost valuable destiny relationships. They have lost opportunities. For instance, how many young people had the opportunity, they heard that a job offer was there at a platter of gold. Their uncle said, send your CV, and they carelessly assumed that the job will always be there. Carelessness is dangerous. We must obtain grace tonight to fight carelessness like you fight the devil. You can lose things. You can lose years because of carelessness. Number three, are we still together? The third reason for losses in this kingdom is called ignorance of the laws of life. Ignorance of the laws of life, comma, the laws of destiny, and the laws of the kingdom. Ignorance of the laws of life, the laws of destiny, and the laws of the kingdom. Psalm 82 and verse 5. Listen. This world operates by laws. There are laws of life. There are laws of destiny. There are laws of the kingdom. Your ignorance of those laws can cost you so many things, including your life. Let me give you an instance. Someone can decide right now to end his life by going to stand in front of a moving train. Is that true? He violated the laws of life. Someone can be part of a bad relationship that leads him into destroying a precious destiny. That's violating the laws of destiny. But there are people who can give themselves over through ignorance, and the devil can take advantage of them and destroy and waste their lives. Ignorance. Listen, this is a kingdom that operates by light. It takes spiritual illumination, high level illumination. Psalms 82 and verse 5. The Bible says they know not, neither will they understand. It says they walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. The next verse says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you, not some, are children of the Most High. The tragedy is in the next verse. But ye shall die like mere men and fall like one of these princes. Ignorance is costly. We must contend for light. We must contend for spiritual illumination. Is that true? It was this passion for light to supply spiritual intelligence to the body that made Paul to make that statement he made in Ephesians chapter 3. Please give us Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 2 and 3, then we'll jump to 9 and 10. 2 and 3. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me for your sake now, to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now when you go to verse 9, he was granted grace. What is the grace? The grace is to make all men see, to open the eyes of men, take away ignorance. And verse 10 is the reason, to the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Dominion is the resultant effect of the comprehension of the principles of the kingdom. Dominion is not an impartation. There is no anointing in scripture for dominion. Dominion is the resultant effect of your comprehending the ways of God. We have beautiful media people here doing an excellent job of coverage while I teach. They are operating by knowledge, not their size, not their gender. It is the level of illumination they have as far as this activity is concerned. We must contend for mastery and fight ignorance like we fight the devil. Are we together? Number four, is God helping us? We're discussing losses, because when you want to make advancement, advancement happens in the absence of situations that retrogress or impede you. To the degree to which that impedance is taken away, that is the degree to which it can be said you are advancing. Number four, the fourth reason for losses is abuse and misuse. The fourth reason why people lose is abuse and misuse. Matthew chapter 25 from verse 14. Jesus is teaching now, and he's teaching about what we have come to know as the parable of the talent. Follow carefully. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, it says, who called his own servants and delivered unto them goods. So he gave them something. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. The Bible says to every man according to his ability, not according to his love for them. At the end of this parable, you see he was correct for that allocation. 17. The Bible says, let's go back to 16, 25 verse 16. 25 verse 16, help us media. We're still discussing the parable. Then he that had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with the same, and he made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he gained also 2. The tragedy now, 18. But he that received 1 went and did what? Dig the earth and hid his lot's money. You bury seeds, not talents. Talents are not for the ground. Talents are for multiplication. You sow seeds. The earth is for seeds, not for talents. And yet this man took something that was supposed to be, you were supposed to do business with it. Abuse and misuse is one of the reasons why people lose. When the owner of the talents came back to demand accountability, in his arrogance he said, I know you are a hard man. You like to reap where you do not sow, and so I thought to do you a favor, I buried it. Here is your 1 talent. And he called him a wicked and unprofitable servant. He took that 1 talent and he gave it to the one who had proven faithfulness in stewardship. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are we still together tonight? Abuse and misuse. It was Dr. Miles Munroe of blessed memory who said, when the purpose of a thing is not known, he said that the abuse of it is inevitable. The word abuse is an abbreviation for abnormal use. When a thing is not used within the boundary of its purpose, it's called abuse. Are we together? So a quick recap before I mention the last point. The reasons for losses in life. Number one, lack of discernment. Number two, carelessness. Number three, ignorance of the loss of life, the loss of destiny, the loss of the kingdom. Number four, abuse and misuse. Number five, tests and trials. The fifth reason, according to scripture, why men lose, it may be because of tests and trials. Job chapter 1, please, from verse 9. The Bible clearly gives us a biblical rendition of the life of this man called Job. The Bible testifies that he was a man who feared God and eschewed evil. Please give us verse 9. Follow carefully as I read. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? Hast thou not blessed the work of his hand?" My God. So Satan can give this kind of testimony about a man. Satan is testifying before God that I came close to a man and I found that man so fortified. Both him, his house, and his endeavor. Next verse. Now put forth your hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to the face. The Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Scene 2. Tragedy strikes on earth now. And there was a day. May that day never come to your life. But for this man, there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. That means they were responsible children. The elder brother was already established, and something happened. There came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the ass is feeding beside them. Be patient." And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell you. Imagine this kind of news. Next verse. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and had burned up the sheep, the servants, consumed them, and I only am escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, my God, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon your camels. They have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell you." As though that was over, he was yet speaking, there came another and said, this one is not just animals again. "Now your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I am escaped alone to tell you." 2 more verses. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And worshipped. After such a news, next verse please, we're finishing at 22, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." 22, hallelujah. "And in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly." Listen to me, there are times in your life and my life, I know this is not a popular message, but there are times that events can happen around your life to the end that the worship of things and your connection to things be broken. God's obsession is not to take away things from us. He desires that we prosper. But there is a problem when those, you see, the thing with things is that they also want to be lords. So when they come to your life, they don't remain where you kept them. They also begin their manifesto in your life to ascend to a point where they take God's throne. There is a system for managing those things. God enthrones himself in your life by withdrawing from your life everything that tries to be him. So if it is your intelligence, if it is your uncle, your connection, there are people who come to church and while they are saying understand faith, they are laughing, but they don't really care because there is an uncle who are giving them assurance. Whenever you are ready, you come, and just when you are ready, the uncle relocates to Canada. Let me tell you what happens to you when you come for service under that condition. Whether there's praise worship or not, you will lie down on the ground. That's the real day you will start learning faith. Because at that point now, you are being forced. The human spirit is stubborn. It does not easily bow to the lordship of Christ. Not in the presence of things. Not in the presence of many. The Bible says it this way. Apostle John was teaching us in his epistles. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The word love there is the Greek word eros. Is an affinity, an ungodly affinity that can affect your relationship with God. There is a jealousy dimension of God that will not share accommodation with every other thing he created. It's an exclusive position. So whilst he blesses you with prosperity, increase, fame, anointing, whatever it is, he doesn't have a problem with you having those things. But there is a side effect to men who have not been walked upon by God. It does not mean you are bad. It's a weakness in humans. You must pass through a season in the spirit where God steps back and allow those things that have attempted to be Savior and Lord and El Shaddai. You see the futility of them outside of the influence of God. The end is not to destroy you. See, when you are passing through this season with God, it looks like he's nonchalant over the things you are losing. He's concentrating on your training, because when you do learn, restoration is still possible. So while you are saying, God, are you not seeing what is leaving me? He's saying, in my world, not yet. There's no such thing as something living. I am working on you. There are people who stand and brag based on their certificates, based on their uncles, their aunties. Did your Bible not say some will trust in horses, it says? Some trust in chariots. But we who have been cultured to understand, we trust in the name. That anything minus the name of the Lord is a disaster. It's only a matter of time. A man can vow and say, come and meet me tomorrow and get a contract. And between that night till the next day, and Ahithophel comes to him and gives him a counsel, and by the next day he says, I can't remember telling you such a thing. Listen, believers, it is true that there are times that tests and trials can cause us to lose things, albeit temporarily. James chapter 1, Apostle James was teaching us from verse 2. Are we still learning? James chapter 1, Apostle James is teaching us. He said, my brethren. So he's talking to believers in Christ. He's not talking to the heathen. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Support your confidence with this revelation. Knowing this, there is something you need to know that gives you confidence in the midst of plenty and in the midst of nothing. Knowing this, the Lord, you seem so far away, a million miles on what it feels today. You may be going through a season like that, and though I haven't lost my faith, I must confess right now that it's hard for me to pray. It's true. But I don't know what to say. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace, with all that's in my heart, I will see and I will pray. Even in my darkest hour, through the sorrow and the pain, I will see and I will praise. Here's the part of the song that I love. I lift my hands to honor you, because your word is true. I will see. Can I tell you this? Ask any great man you know. There is something in the school of the spirit called the cave of Adullam. That is where great men are made. There are certain times in this life, some prayers you cannot pray some things away. You can only pray for grace to pass through it. Run away from people without scars. They have jumped the school of the spirit. Paul said, let no man trouble me. I'm speaking to some of you because, hear me, your loss is not because of carelessness. There is the making of a man of God. There is a making of an intercessor. There is a making of a kingdom financier. Not every loss is demonic. The training of champions is hard. God called you to be a kingdom financier and gave you an instruction to carry all your money and bring to church. You brought the money and sold and thought by the next day the heavens will open. And for 1 year, you are now living from hand to mouth. He does not hate you. He's teaching you faith. There will be a recompense so that you can stand holding an account with 1 billion and yet it's not in your heart. Jesus is still Lord. That is the morale of the training. Can I tell you this? I came here sensing in my heart that within your region, there are people who have lost things and even lost time. There are people, as soon as you finish school, you wanted to get a job like every other person. God says, stay back. And everybody is moving forward. And even you, you don't know the name of what you are doing with God. God, what are you doing with me? Can I tell you this? You must understand that when God is silent, His silence is a language. Every time God is silent, He's saying you are in the school of the Spirit. Don't be embarrassed. You will cry. It's true. You've often heard people. I hope God is blessing you tonight. There are fathers of faith here, veterans of the gospel. Your fathers in the land, you ask them. They will tell you their journeys. They will tell you as a man of God, there are times you will be going through things yourself. You will counsel others and you will receive a word for them. But for you, a word has not come. And yet, God will demand obedience and compliance. You pray for someone and there is an open door, but there are bills waiting for you. And you are saying, God, I'm serving you faithfully. I'm teaching you what the silence of God is saying. You are in a school. While you are crying, heaven is clapping and saying, don't give up. Because the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. It says, for we will reap. Well-doing is a seed. Is God speaking to us? There are various reasons. Can I tell you this? Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 40, don't turn there, just write it for reference. The Bible talks of a prison. Look up, please. Joseph and the wine presser and the baker met in one place. The name of that place is the prison. The prison is where both good and bad people meet. Don't judge everybody in the prison. They are there for various reasons. There are some who are there because they defaulted, but there are some who are there because they are being made to become saviors. The prison is where both good and bad meet. The cross is where both Jesus and the thieves meet. Be careful when you judge people while they are going through seasons. You do not know the reason why they are going through it. Are we together? In that same prison, there was Joseph the righteous. There was the wine presser, the butler, the defaulters. They were all there. The way to the throne is the cross. The way to sit over Egypt is to pass through the prison. Let me speak to you. Many of you admire greatness. You admire great people. I want to tell you there is a mystery that not many of them will tell you sincerely. Look beyond the crowns and the glamour. There are scars that are testaments of endurance. They lost to gain. If you want to gain in this kingdom, you must be prepared to lose. Losing is how we gain. Are we together? Because you will not appreciate restoration until you understand the idea of losses. There are people right now who have lost things. You lost a job because of your integrity. You made up your mind you will not compromise, you will not bribe, and you lost. Not every loss is proof that God has left you. There are losses that are scars of honor, symbols of endurance. Is God still with us tonight? Let me give us 3 keys for restoration, and then we'll pray. Someone's breakthrough is coming now. Please pay attention. Keys give us access. As big as a door is a small key that opens it. How many of you have stood before a giant door simply because a key that could enter your pocket was missing? You stood before that door helpless. As adult and matured as you are, a small key was missing and it kept you grounded. Keys are powerful. They can open great doors, even ancient doors. Number one, what is the first key for restoration? Please pay attention. Number one, the first key that leads to restoration according to scripture is called self-examination. The power of evaluation, the power of self-examination. You want restoration in your life, your family, your business? Self-examination. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Help us, media. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Read with me, please, if you're a Christian and you can see it projected. Ready? One, two, read. Examine yourself, it says. Whether ye be in the faith. The instruction is examine yourselves. To examine yourself means to find a place and sit down and engage in deep contemplation. There are many people who pray, but they do not think. Thinking is a miracle. The Bible says God is able to do more than what we ask or think. You've heard me say it in my teachings that both your prayer and your thinking are warriors. There is a prayer warrior. There is a thinking warrior. God answers all the requests they bring to him. You can pray well, but if you do not think well, you may never come out of certain tragedies. The psalmist would write a song and he would write under Selah, pause and think deeply. Is that true? The Bible encourages believers to think, to sustain times of deep contemplation. For instance, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, it says, think on these things. Self-examination. Luke chapter 15, popular story. We'll read 3 verses from verse 17. Luke 15 from verse 14. This was the story of the prodigal son. Please keep the scripture there. Just as a background, let's go to verse 17. Okay, well, keep it from verse 14. Remember the young man who had access to his father's wealth, but he wanted ownership. Is that true? And the father gave him. He did not think well. If he thought well, he would know that access is better than ownership. Because access, you have the abundance to you minus the responsibility of maintenance. But ownership, you have both access and the responsibility of maintenance. In this kingdom, we don't own anything. Owners are rebels. We are stewards. My car, my house, my children. Then you maintain it. In this kingdom, we have access. From Genesis, you may freely eat, but it's not your own. But the carnal man wants it in his name, ownership. The young boy had access, but he wanted ownership. Father, I'm of age. Let it be in my name. Lack started when access switched to ownership. And the young man went as a result of his careless thinking. His life deteriorated. He lost everything. Are we still together? To a point where someone who was in a place of royalty was now feeding with the swine. 14, please. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. We're reading to 20. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. What a decline. And he would not feign. And he would not fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, the Bible did not say the Holy Ghost spoke to him. The Bible did not say a counselor advised him. It is within the power of the human spirit to sit down and say, why is my life like this? Listen, let me tell you, there is, for many of you here, this is already a word for you. Don't allow yourself to just keep growing old and things are just happening. You need to sustain the power of contemplation. As a father, why am I always in lack? Why am I always fighting? The seed for an answer is a question. You do not deserve an answer until you have a question. Is that true? For someone here, you need to sit down and think, why am I failing in this business? Lord, you gave me a ministry. Influence zero, doctrine zero, salvation zero. Something is wrong. The Bible says, be still and you will know. There is a level of knowledge that comes when you are still. Our generation, sadly, is a busy generation. Thank God for technology, but if not managed, it can be the demon that distracts you out of advancement. Is that true? All kinds of things clamoring for your attention. No. Champions and great people, those who make advancement in life, are people who understand the power of deep contemplation. They lock themselves. You are a visionary leader. Millions are depending on the ideas and the decisions that come out of that contemplation. You cannot be careless. You cannot be rash. Obtain grace in Jesus' name to sit down quietly. Some of you, after this conference, you may just need to go excuse everybody out of your house or your room or your office and just sit down quietly. No television, no radio, no internet. Holy Ghost, I'm here. There has to be a way out of this. Speak to me. Go and ask inventors, as champions, as visionary leaders. Ideas are birthed in the place of contemplation, where they sit quietly. There has to be a way to this business. There has to be a way to raise this capital. There has to be a way to ministry. Spirit of the living God, I open up my faculties to your influence. And whilst you are there, suddenly from heaven, something comes and graduates you to victory for the next 10 years. Are we blessed? The power of self-examination, the power of contemplation. This is the first key to restoration. Number two, the second key that leads to restoration is brokenness. Psalm 51 verse 17, brokenness. Because there are times you notice out of the five reasons I gave you, five reasons for losses, four of them are reasons that authorize Satan to come and destroy your life. So when you want restoration, Psalm 51, please, and verse 17, there are times you need to be broken. Brokenness suggests taking responsibility. Brokenness suggests saying, look, the way things have gone around my life, there may be need for repentance. There may be need for openness of heart. Lord, I repent. You spoke to me in a dream. My pastor gave a message. I ignored him. I ignored the instructions of the authorities over me. There must be need for brokenness. The young man, when he came to himself, here's what he said. Let me show you what brokenness is. How many hired servants has my father? And I am here feeding with the swine. Here is brokenness. I will arise and I will go to my father. I cannot advance into prosperity, but I can advance to the man who can help me. There are two levels of advancement. Advancement to God, then from God, advancement to destiny. You cannot advance to destiny when you have not advanced to God. When you find yourself in defeat, don't advance to money. Don't advance to fame. Don't advance to a blind restoration. There is only one person who deserves your advancement. I cannot go back to my wealth. I cannot go back to my reputation. But I can go back to my father. God is speaking to someone here. You were once on fire. You once loved God. Now it looks like you have lost everything. You were once a visionary businessman until you joined some so-called club or association that just derailed your values. It may not be easy to get that business back overnight, but there is a father who is waiting for you. Notice the Bible never said the prodigal son met the father at home. The father already started moving too. He will not meet you at your mess, but you will not meet him at home too. You will meet him somewhere at the point of your obedience. I will arise, he says, and I will go to my father. When I see my father, I will not just shake him and say, "Hi, Dad." Mm-mm. I will say, "Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I am not worthy to be called your son," he says, "but take me as one of your servants." When the father saw that there was brokenness already, he didn't even talk to him about the issue again. He held him and embraced him and restored the signet ring, a symbol of royalty. "You are now back to my fold." Listen to me. Every time you lose in life, businessmen hear this. When your business crashes and everything goes down, don't say, "I'm looking for money to go back." There is only one person you go back to. Father, Abba, the source, the sustainer. Until you sort it out with God, you cannot go back anywhere. You used to be a man of God on fire. Now you've backslidden. Prayer life zero, word life zero. You're not even sure you are saved. You don't go back to ministry. You go back to Father. It is from Father he reallocates you to your inheritance. Is somebody learning now? We're dealing with restoration. Genuine biblical pathway that leads to restoration. It cannot be in the absence of brokenness. From self-examination to brokenness. "Lord, I'm sorry. I was not a faithful tither. I was not a giver. I did not support your house. You gave me 2 billion naira. I misused it. Jumped around with psycho fans who promised to be there. Now everything has gone bad." Don't say the ideas are still in my head. It's just to get a loan. I assure you, you will recycle that pain again. Life is a patient teacher. It can repeat the lessons for as long as it will take for you to learn. Are we together? What do you gain in the place of brokenness? A contrite heart. What do you gain in the place of brokenness? You reprioritize God above everything. "I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord." Listen, let me show you the position of brokenness. This is it. Yes, I know you are a CEO, but life brings you to a point where you are no longer ashamed. When your knees can touch the ground, then your head can wear the crown again. When your knees can touch the ground in brokenness. Samson was one person who lost his estate in destiny. Let me show you how that restoration happened. His eyes, his symbol of light, had been taken away. And while they put him between two pillars to mock his God, he prayed one prayer. "I may not have the opportunity to live again, but oh God, even in death, give me the honor and the privilege of valiance. Let me do much for you." And they did not realize that while they were laughing at him, his hair was coming back. Can I tell you this? Rejoice not over me, my enemies. No matter what happened to your yesterday, I bring you a word of hope. Jesus died, but he only died for 3 days. Let me encourage someone here. Yes, your prayer life has gone down. Yes, I know things may have gone down. It may have been your fault, your carelessness, wrong associations, mistakes. But let me bring you a word of hope. At the scent of water. At the scent of water. While you are laughing at Jesus who died, there is an angel leaving heaven to come and open the grave. While you are laughing at the dead Jesus, he did not die forever. He only died for 3 days. He only died for 3 days. And while they were laughing at the one who died, an angel came. The hymn writer says, up from the grave he arose with the mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. If Christ arose, you can arise. Did you hear what I said? Businessman, hear me. Man of God, hear me. Those following from whatever nation watching, hear me. There is hope. In this kingdom, one of the systems of advantage is that no matter what goes wrong, once there is brokenness, you have planted the seed for continuity of your destiny. Can I give you an advice, great leaders? No matter how bad people are, if you find genuine brokenness, I show you people who are still usable. But no matter how good people are, if you do not find brokenness, that is a disaster only waiting for time. Of all that Saul was, he was broken. When he fell before that light, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You cannot kick against the pricks. And his heart was open. When Peter denied Jesus, he was broken. Even the Judas you talk about, Judas was so broken, he did not spend the money. Brokenness is powerful. It vetoes your fasting. It vetoes your prayer. You can fast, you can pray, you can walk in church. If there is no brokenness, you cannot go far with God. I think we should turn this into a prayer in 1 minute. Whilst you are seated, cry to the God of heaven, Lord, grant me a broken spirit. The pride and the arrogance that is rebellious towards God, give me the malleability to repent, the ability to not be ashamed, that when there is a default in my life and my destiny, and my losses come as a report card, letting me know that I need to retrace my steps. Pain is a letter from your future to your present, warning you that you need to make adjustments in your life. Is someone praying? Please pray. Be like that prodigal son tonight. For some of you. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I still have 2 more points and then we're going to pray. But at this juncture, my spirit is fired up and I want to make an altar call. You are here and you've heard me speak. And whilst you heard me speak, the Holy Ghost began to tell you, it's time to win this war of destiny tonight. There is nothing to be ashamed of. Running to Jesus is like running to receive an award, not running to a funeral. Hear me. There are people up the balcony, across the aisles, and maybe even outside, online following. You know that the first restoration you need is Jesus Christ. Nobody will force you. But I believe with all my heart there are people who need to make it right. Or there are others who say, Apostle, I remember giving my heart to the Lord, but the way my life is now, things have gone haywire. Wherever you are, as I count 1 to 5, as our Father will always do, I'd like you to leave your seat wherever you are and please run and come and stand here. Unashamedly, you are standing before Jesus. 1. Are you celebrating them? Champions Cathedral, come and stand before Jesus, the God of your salvation. Please stand for space. Stand. Celebrate them as they come. It's time to win that war. Is this how you celebrate salvation here?
There are so many people outside.
Okay, those outside, you can create a space for them outside because of that. Those outside, hear me please. Those who are coming from outside, let's have some ushers or counselors. Just create a space for them where they can stand. Keep coming. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come. come to Jesus. Are you coming to Jesus? I have to pray for you before we continue.
I love your presence. I love your presence. I love you, Jesus. I love your presence. I love your presence.
Listen, look at me, my brothers and my sisters. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Rebels don't come to Jesus. Rebels run away from him. So that you have come to Jesus, who is the Lord of your salvation, I'd like you to know that you are not a rebel, young and old. For some of you, you've been having dreams. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. For some of you, he carried you and brought you here. Do you know why? More than just making heaven, there are destinies that are connected to your obedience. He brought you here to make you. If Billy Graham never got born again in that crusade ground, there are millions today who would not make it because of him. If Reinhard Bonnke never made it to Jesus. Can I tell you this? Many of you are here like the prodigal son tonight. It is within your power to come to yourself and make up your mind. I'm tired of this kind of thing. I cannot waste the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Can I tell you this? Every one of us, including myself, had to stand before the Lord of our salvation to make this decision. This is not a funeral. You are standing before Jesus. The only thing I want you to do is to mean seriously what you are saying. Don't come and stand here just because of emotions. Let it be from the depth of your heart. The Bible says, whosoever will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. Listen to me, my brothers and my sisters. You are here because there is a beautiful destiny. Yes, because you live. Jesus, I live. I have no fear of what tomorrow brings. Because you live. Jesus, I live. Today, I live to pray your name. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. You are the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. You are the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, take your place, take your place, take your place. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Your father is here, like the prodigal son. When he came to his father, the father embraced him. I am still Abba, your source, your sustainer. Please lift your right hand high to the heavens, above your head. And I'd like you to say this after me passionately. Jesus is here. For some of you, in your tears and your prayer is the salvation of millions. For some of you, in your tears and your prayer is the finances that will fund the gospel in these end times. There are apostles here and prophets and evangelists and pastors and businessmen and politicians, custodians of the destinies of many. Take seriously the decision you are making. Say after me, Lord Jesus, Say it again passionately. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. Like the prodigal child, I have come to you just as I am, unable to help myself, but I believe in your love. I believe you died for me. I believe you shed your blood for me. I believe you resurrected for me. Tonight, I make Jesus my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I also receive the abundance of grace, even the gift of righteousness. And I declare that from today and forever, I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, I present to you the ones Jesus died for. Jesus, when you hung upon that cross, these ones together with all of us were worth your death, your blood. Like trophies we bring to you, Abba, these ones who have come back home. According to the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. And I declare that the power of sin, of Satan, of hell, and of the grave is broken over your life. I commend you, therefore, to the ministry of the Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is able to make you and mature you and to make you a useful battle axe in the hands of the Lord. Every guilt, every shame, every past leaves you now and leaves you forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Now, very quickly before they're returning back to their seats. Okay, now this is what I want you to do, all of you. The teaching is still on, so even whilst you are there, please lend your attention. But there is a counselor waving the placard just on to the back, and you will see him. What I want all of you to do is just follow him together in concert as we clap for them. There will be a group of people. Very briefly, they will attend to you and you'll be back to your seat. Let's celebrate them. Champions Cathedral, is this the best you can do? No shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Sing it one more time. There's no shadow you won't lie up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Hallelujah. Can we take the third key? Just help those who are crying. Can we take the third key? Whilst you are taking them, counselors, just help them. Let's make it snappy so that they can be back, because we are soon to pray now. The third key is knowledge. The third key that controls restoration. Are we still together? Shout hallelujah. So number one, the power of self-examination, self-evaluation. Number two, the power of brokenness. The third key that controls restoration in this kingdom is knowledge. Proverbs chapter 11, please, and verse 9. Help us, media. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 9. The Bible says, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor." The B part says, "But through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. This is a kingdom that operates, like I stated earlier, operates by light. Is it possible to give the new converts the forms and then they can fill it on their seat And then when I'm done praying, I can still request that all of them get back. Will that be fine? Will that be fine, sir? Or, well, anyway, I just thought so that it doesn't bring any distraction. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. Knowledge. Everyone say, through knowledge shall the just be delivered. One more time. Through knowledge shall the just be delivered. There is a relationship between knowledge and victory. There is a relationship between knowledge and deliverance. There is a relationship between knowledge and restoration. The same way ignorance leads to losses, knowledge can lead to restoration. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, a scripture I love to quote so much. Here's what it says. Arise, shine. Why? For your light is come. Not that your light is available. It's always been there. But when it comes to you, it sustains the power to make you arise and to shine. For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I wish we can have the Amplified rendition. The Amplified says, let me quote it for time. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. It says, rise to a new life. Arise from the prostration, the depression that circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Oh, beautiful. We have it here. It says, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. Why? For your light has come. Everyone say, my light has come. Prophesy it over your destiny. My light has come. Prophesy it over your family. My light has come. Light is powerful. Is it not light that turns night into day? What did your Bible say about the night? That weeping is related to the night time. It endures for the night. It says, but joy, it ties light to joy. For as long as there is night in your life, weeping continues. But the moment illumination, light comes to you, then you arise in joy. You need to pant after knowledge. Knowledge of the ways of God. Knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom. You must access wisdom by light. Scripture says, talking of wisdom, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. It says, with me are riches, wealth, and honor, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Job 29, the exploits of Job. Job was recounting the basis for his victory. What was responsible for him being the greatest man in the east? Please give us Job 29, the first four verses. Are we still together tonight? Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were in the months past, he says, as in the days when God preserved me, when his candle, everybody say light, when his light shined upon my head, and when by his light I walk through darkness. There are two kinds of light you need to advance. The one that shines on your head and the one that shines on your path. The one that shines on your head is for knowledge. The one that shines on your path is for direction. Job said, this light was on my head and was on my path. Four. He says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of the Lord were upon my tabernacle. In fact, let's extend a bit. Go ahead and read. When the Almighty was yet with me and my children were about me, when I washed my steps, look at the fringe benefits of access to light. I washed my steps with butter, the rock poured out oil, rivers of oil. It says, I went out to the gate through the city when I prepared my seat in the street. What happened? The young men, by reading of this light, they hid themselves and the aged ones stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hands on their mouth. 10. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Just stop there. The exploits of light. You want advancement and even restoration, it is at the mercy of the lights that you have. This beautiful auditorium is well lit, both your LED screens, the TVs, and then the auditorium. Why? Because there's sufficient light. If you put a candle here, it's not light enough to turn the night into day. You need high level spiritual illumination. Are we together? The last key that controls restoration is the prophetic. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. The prophetic was given by God as an instrument of restoration. Isaiah 42. Please pay attention. We're about to pray. Isaiah 42 and verse 22. Media, help us. Let's read together. Can we read? Ready? One to read. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are taken for a prey, and none sayeth delivered. For a spoil, and none sayeth restore. Restoration must be spoken to happen. It says they are taken for a prey, and there is no prophetic voice that can speak and say restore. Restoration. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 1. A classic expression of restoration. Hallelujah. Someone's life is about to change. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, watch this now. Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait or small for us. Let us go. So this was an intention to go forward, but something happened. Are we together? Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, the place of breakthrough, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he said, go ye. When he gave that instruction, one said, be content, I pray thee, to go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood, the Bible says, but a tragedy happened. Listen carefully now. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, I am in trouble. I've lost something now. My sincere intention to go forward has brought me trouble. And that axe was borrowed. Watch the prophetic. The man of God answered and said, calm down, you are safe. The prophetic is still within your reach. Where fell it? The Lord is speaking to someone. Where fell the relationship? Where fell the favor? Where fell the open door? And he showed him the place. Please keep the scripture. And he cut down a stick and cast it in theater, and the iron did swim. And he said, take it up to thee. And he put down his hand and took it. I will restore through the instrument of the prophetic an axe head heavier than water, but under a certain condition. I prophesy to someone in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. You now see what happens when our father, Baba Adeboye, would stand and say, in the name of Jesus, casually speaking, everything you have lost, let it be restored. And people say, amen. And people return with testimonies and say, my child who has been missing for 10 years. Let me tell you this. I know that the prophetic may have been abused here and there. But when the prophetic is administered within the balance of scripture, it is powerful. No man can rise beyond a certain threshold until the prophetic lifts you. I tell you this. I had the honor and the privilege of meeting our father again not too long. And when he was praying and speaking over my life, I knew it was coming from the depth of his heart. He sent everybody out of the room and began to speak from the depth of his heart. I knew he was not just advising, he was programming realities. Can I tell you this? As powerful as Jesus is, he walked under a closed heaven for 30 years until a prophet opened his heavens. Your Jesus was under a closed heaven for 30 years until he met a prophet called John the Baptist. Even if you are a midwife, when you are pregnant and you are about to give birth, another midwife will have to help you. Hear me? This is where the arrogance of our generation has pegged men. You can respect yourself, but you cannot honor yourself. Honor is conferred by another. Fire is about to fall in this place. Listen to me. Many of you have lost. Please take it hard for me. Listen carefully. There is a prophetic word that I want to bring, and then we'll pray. I will not take too long. We'll be done shortly. Please be sensitive now. I just sense angelic activities in this place. Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 11. Elatalas kebratishia shegelebaratusiata. Nehemiah 5. Champions Cathedral, the city of Wari, south of the Niger. Hear the word of the Lord. He said, restore, I pray you, to them. Even when? Even when? Are you reading with me? Not tomorrow. Restore, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, 100% of the money and of the corn and of the wine and of the oil that he exact of them. Listen, please look up. Every time, many of you are businessmen, many of you read economies, there is always, whenever there is a taking, it leaves someone and goes to the hand of another. Is that true? Who did your breakthrough, when it left you, where did it go? Because the Bible says when you catch a thief, he doesn't only restore, he restores tenfold. Ezekiel 37, I was taken. We're still buttressing on this prophecy. This is the prophetic word the Lord gave me tonight. Nehemiah. But hear me. The hand of the Lord was upon me. We're reading Ezekiel 37. He carried me out in the spirit and set me down. And he showed me a valley full of bones. Bones means they were once an army. But something happened. He caused me to pass by them. They were very many. And they were very dry. That means they had been there a long time. Verse 3. He said unto me, son of man, Champions Cathedral, can this business leave? Can this family leave? Can this anointing be restored? The prophet was honest. He said, Lord, with this situation I'm seeing, only thou knowest. And then he spoke to him, and he said to me, prophesy. He said to me, prophesy. He said to me, prophesy. Verse 5. Cause breath to enter you so that you will live. Verse 6. Beautiful. And I will lay sinews and I will do all of these things. Go to verse 7. That's what I'm looking for. He said, prophesy. And this verse says, so I. He said, deliver. So I. I'm here today because God sent me. If he says, prophesy, then we must prophesy. If he says restoration, then we must decree it. Are you ready to pray? Father, I step into everything I have lost, everything that has left me, left my family. Lift your voice and pray. Spiritually, financially, in ministry, in business, in career. Are you praying? Are you praying? Inside, outside. RCCG, Champions Cathedral, the city of worry. Lift your voice and declare. De la paruske parite katavarusia, ke brande ke telekete prakata. Restore, restore the grace, restore the favor, restore the lifting. Someone is praying. Someone is praying. Hallelujah. 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 My God. My God.
But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, you lift my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, the lifter up of my head. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory, you lift my head.
I like you. Please listen. Listen. There are few. We have a few minutes. I don't intend to delay us, especially because of our fathers. But the hand of God is upon me now. Praise the name of the Lord. Hear me. There are people here, and I'm seen by the Spirit. There are people here. There are yokes that have tied and kept individuals. Listen to me. And families. The Bible declares that now the Lord is that Spirit, and that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There are individuals here, the only thing growing in your life is your age. Nothing else is growing. I want to pray for you right now. Listen, as I pray for you, the power of God is going to come upon you. We may not be able to do that for everybody, but I want you to bring them out here. Let's just have a few ushers. Whether you're an usher or not, just join them. There's a reason I want to pray for them. Because this night, except God is not God, that whatever has held you down, in the name of Jesus, it must give way. Are we together? I stretch my hands right now. At the count of three, I declare that anyone here under the sound of my voice who has been tied down by witchcraft, tied down by all kinds of yokes,
join my faith with the fathers of faith. And in the name of Jesus, at the count of three, I want you to shout that name, Jesus. Don't come out at random. Don't come out at random. The power of God will bring you out. In the name of Jesus, just bring those under the anointing. One, two, you shout Jesus. Three, be delivered right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I decree and declare, bring those under the anointing. Jesus, the name that is above all names. Bring those under the anointing. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Release their destinies. Release their destinies by the power of the Holy Ghost. Every plot that is not of God, I come by the rod of the higher priesthood. Let there be deliverance now. Let there be emancipation now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm praying for you. There are families. Zechariah chapter 1 from verse 18. He says, son of man, what seest thou? And he said, I saw four horns. 19. He said, these are the horns that have scattered Judah. Your praise scattered Israel. Your covenant scattered Jerusalem. Your peace. There are horns that fight families. I'm praying again that every power sitting on anyone's destiny, you're going to shout that name again. In the name of Jesus, be delivered now. Be delivered now. Be delivered now. Be delivered now. Release families. Release destinies. Release families. Release destinies. Release families. Release destinies. We curse you by the God of heaven. We curse you by the God of Jeshurun that rides upon the wings of the wind. Hear me. Please listen. If there is any family here that has been tied down in one position, as I declare upon you, I'd like you to begin to receive and say, I'm moving forward. I'm making progress. I declare right now, every family that has been tied down, in the name of Jesus, go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. No delay. Go forward. Restoration. In the name of Jesus. Let hope, let it rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Hope is rising in this place tonight. Hear me. Listen, all of you who are in front here, listen, hold on. Everyone in front here, I declare that everything that has tied you by the God of heaven, I command it to leave you now. Leave your family now. If you are in business here, lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Alas, master, it was borrowed. In the name that is above all names, everything that has tied you down to bring reproach to the name of the Lord upon your life,
I stand here upon this exalted altar and I declare to you, come out of every debt now. Come out of every loss now. Come out of every debt now. Come out of every loss now. I speak to you, advance, 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 go forward, advance in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now listen to me, please. Just 2-3 minutes and I'm done. The Bible speaks about a man in the book of Esther called Mordecai. Mordecai once saved a life. There are two people who did well but were not rewarded in scripture. Number one was Joseph. He helped the wine presser to interpret his dream, and he said, when you are restored, please tell the king I'm innocent. The man added 2 years to Joseph's pain. A man's memory, a man's forgetfulness can multiply your times of pain. Until God, as an act of his mercy, brought a dream to Pharaoh, and the wine presser said, I remember my wrong. The second person was Mordecai. He saved the life of Ahasuerus, the king over 127 provinces. And Mordecai was not rewarded. But when his time came, the Bible says that night could not the king sleep. I'm saying this because God is about to open the book of remembrance. Hear me. There are some of you who have been part of the success story of many people. You have contributed to the rising of many. You have helped to take shame out of many. But you have been forgotten. In the name of Jesus, I bow my knees to the God of my covenant. Don't kneel down. I'm the one kneeling down. I pray for you. Between now and the next 3 months, if God be God, be remembered in the name of Jesus. Be remembered in the name of Jesus. Be remembered in the name of Jesus. That night could not Ahasuerus sleep, and he said, bring me the chronicles. When they brought him the chronicles, he saw where Mordecai saved his life and yet was not rewarded. And he said, who is in the chamber? Haman was there. And he said, what shall be done to the man who does this? Haman thought he was the one. And so out of the abundance of his selfishness, he gave a recommendation. He said, do that immediately. Can I speak to you? There are some of you who are at this conference, it looks like you are nobody's ignored. But I stand by the grace of God and I declare, may what happened to Mordecai happen to you. Hear me. The Bible says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. When Haman coordinated the honor of Mordecai, he returned back broken to his wife and he said, wife, look at what happened to me. And he said, Mordecai is a Jew, Esther is a Jew, you are in trouble. He said, this one has come to get you because there is a covenant that protects them. Can I speak to you? Anybody that has mocked your God and fought your covenant, may what happened to Haman happen to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to go back home today with this consciousness that the Lord has restored to me both things and years. You are barren here, trusting God for the fruit of the womb. I want you to not just expect one child, expect twins, expect triplets in the name of Jesus Christ. And may I lend my voice with the pastor and the leaders to encourage you. Please do not miss tomorrow morning session for anything. It's a conference. It takes a sacrifice, but every session is worth your while and worth your coming. Open up your heart and ensure that you are around and invite as many. If there is no space, if you have to climb the roof, climb and sit there. In the days of Jesus Christ, everybody who came had something to go back with. For tonight, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you. In the name of Jesus. You will not need to tell people you came to church. The testimonies that begin to happen will tell people that you met God. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you and see you tomorrow.